Over the past week, the nation has witnessed three incidents of grossly inappropriate police violence, which in two instances resulted in the death of unarmed African-American men. In an April 2nd sting operation gone wrong in Tulsa, Oklahoma, an untrained 73-year-old White Reserve Deputy Police Officer Robert Bates shot and killed suspected gun trafficker Eric Courtney Harris as he fled the scene of the undercover operation. Bates has since been charged with manslaughter. Several days later, on April 5th, Walter Scott, who was stopped in North Charleston, South Carolina for a broken taillight, was shot to death by white policeman Michael Slager as Scott ran away from the officer. Slager is charged with murder and has been fired by the police department. In another incident on April 9th, Francis Pusock, an unarmed white man who fled police officers serving a warrant, first in a car and then on horseback, was severely beaten by 10 San Bernardino, California sheriff's deputies after he had surrendered. The 10 deputies involved had been placed on paid administrative leave. The thing these incidents had in common is that they were all captured on video, either by a bystander, a police body camera, or in the case of the beating in San Bernardino, a film crew in a news helicopter. Without the irrefutable documentation seen in the video images, it's likely that police accounts of these events may have been accepted by investigators at face value, and officers guilty of misconduct may have suffered no consequences and escaped all accountability. In the Walter Scott case, it's clear that the report written by Officer Slager immediately after the shooting contradicted the facts later seen in the video recording. Your reporter spoke with Matthew Fogg, a retired Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal, who won the largest ever $4 million employee Title VII discrimination lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Justice. Here he examines the culture of impunity that exists in some police departments that leads to irresponsible acts of violence without consequences.
So it is a culture. It is a culture that has been in place, and yet, only because we're seeing it now on these cell phone cameras and video is capturing it, is this new technology today that law enforcement wasn't expecting to expose them. But that blue wall of silence, they have been doing this to people for years. This is a everyday occurrence. And if you could see the numbers of people that have been actually shot, even taking records, like we've been saying, there should be a federal record on how many people, every shooting that police are involved in should go into a database. You would be shocked. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Matthew Fogg, maybe you could speak to what is it about the police culture in your own experience that would lead some police officers to believe that they are unaccountable to the public for their behavior, and that certainly there are many instances where this is proven out. You also have many folks in the police department who, by their very actions, appear to believe that they are above the law.
Right, that's correct. Police departments, that whole paradigm is like military. It's command and control structure. So goes the top management, there goes the bottom subordinates. And what happens is power corrupts. I mean, you put a badge and a gun on somebody and you tell them that, you know, you got unbridled authority, especially when you start talking about minority communities, black communities, people who can't really fight back, people whose voice is not really considered legitimate. If you go make a complaint, we all know if that incident that occurred in South Carolina or the one out there in L.A. or the recent shootings up and the killing of Eric Garner in New York and Michael Brown, if these incidents weren't brought out to the public the way they were, wouldn't nobody be saying anything about them. It would just be their word against the citizens' word, and especially that incident in South Carolina where they just completely lied on all the reports. I'm telling you, I have seen it with my own eyes. It is a common, as much as the public may not want to believe it. And now, I think like Ray Kelly is a good example. Ray Kelly, the former commissioner for the New York Police Department, he recently, after the incident in South Carolina, he changed his mind. He was thinking that body cameras sort of invade the privacy of the police and so forth. So, man, you know, I always said you don't have privacy. Body cameras protect even good cops. It protects everybody because now the public has an opportunity to see exactly what we're doing. But now he changed his mind. He said, after seeing what happened in South Carolina, I am now a believer that body cameras need to be issued to officers. So It's a culture that I think it gets out of control. You have to have a civilian review board. You can't let the police themselves. Just like this country has, the executive body, the judicial body, the three branches of government to sort of checks and balances. You have to have that same thing for police department. You can't let us just go unbridled because it will get out of control like it is.
Matthew, I wanted to ask you, what are the most effective tools, do you think, to improve police-community relations? Is it more intensive training, established police-community review boards, mandate independent investigations of allegations of police violence, and or utilizing body cameras? What, in your view, is the most useful here?
I think all of the above. I mean, body cameras, definitely civilian review boards with subpoena power, and separate prosecutorial investigative power and authority. You have to have that because you're given law. I tell people say, well, it's just a few bad apples. I said, listen, you can't have a few bad apples in law enforcement. I said, that's like telling me that in the room there's just a couple of terrorists in this room. I said, you got to have zero tolerance in law enforcement because they can change or alter someone's life at the drop of a dime. I said, you know, if you was in a stadium and somebody came over the bullhorn and said, look, we got 100,000 people here. Everybody's for the most part are good, but we got two bad cops and we don't know what they might do. Everybody's going to go home because the bottom line is you don't know when you're going to run into that person. So you can't have in law enforcement a few bad apples. It has to be zero tolerance. And I've said that all in my career, and that's what happened to me. Them same guys that took me through the changes that I went through ended up leaving me on a stakeout. Other things occurred with other people. You can't have racism in law enforcement. You can't have gender discrimination. You can't have any forms of federal or local or violations of the law in law enforcement, because if you do, it throws the whole paradigm off.
That was Matthew Fogg, a retired Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal, who won the largest ever $4 million employee Title VII discrimination lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Justice. Find more news and commentary on police violence and accountability by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.